time again.
Just can we just pause for 1 second?
Yeah.
I just found the slogan.
What?
Take it Yeezy.
Easy.
Okay, so it turns out that parkour is actually a professional sport.
But one particular day per month, I become hilarious to everyone, and today is the day, boy.
Did you just hear? That was Sarah's countdown.
You had to spend a lot of time and get to know yourself, which some of us are still very upset about. Wow.
Anyways, I am Kia.
I am Sarah.
And this is Somnia.
Okey-dokey, roll 'em.
Yes, this is Somnia, guys. My name is Kia.
My name is Sarah.
And we're back. If you are tuning in to DRN1, welcome, welcome. If you're tuning in to 89.3 FM, of course, welcome too. But Spotify as well. Guys, it's good to see you as always.
And of course, and thank you for always catching up, even if you do lag a little bit behind the rest. We still appreciate you either way.
Absolutely. Now, guys, do we have a show for you? In fact, to put it quite simply and quite easily, you guys have actually picked our whole song list this time around.
You have. It's kind of like requestable, like we've spoken about previously from Triple J, but it's like somnivore, some request mona.
Yeah, we were almost got there.
It's in the works.
But yes, on our Instagram, we put out a message basically saying, hey guys, like if you want to shout out a band or whatever, you know, like make sure you drop their names. And you guys really did provide. And it's going to be a very hard and heavy episode, I will say that.
It is. You guys recommended a lot, and we appreciate all the new bands you've got coming our way. We also put a little bit of a poll up wondering what your phobias were and why. So we're going to spend a little bit discussing them and our thoughts on what is the creepiest and crawliest things you guys are scared of that most people probably wouldn't understand.
We're also going to discuss, for those clown haters out there, there's actually a house over in America where she's dedicated her whole house to a clown that we all know and sometimes love.
Love is very strong. Like there's a lot of things I don't want in this world, and one of those is waking up to see Ronald McDonald's face anywhere near me. Anywhere.
Absolutely not. Oh anywhere yeah, definitely me. Not.
And we also got the lucky chance to sit down with Brandon Saylor from Atreyu, and we've got a little bit of an interview with him that'll come later on in the show, so make sure you tune in to hear about all their new album, what the future plans are, and some stories from the road as well.
But for now, guys, we're going to throw you into the first song, which again is follower or fan picked. This one here is White Plague by Pillager.
Right.
Recommended by David. That one there was White Plague by Pillager. Good old Aussie boys there.
I know. Starting us off hard and heavy, isn't it? I love it when things just get thrown straight into the deep end. Like, there's no, like, you know that little wait time that you've got, like, when you're sitting in the doctor's office or in, like, an elevator and there's just that really unfortunate music playing? Yeah, we don't do that here.
No, we just throw you right into the deep end, unfortunately.
Speaking of deep ends, though, we spoke last week about phobias. We told you a bit about ours. And then we requested on Instagram. You guys have been so vocal on Instagram. We're so thankful for that. And you actually told us some of the things that you guys are scared of that some people might not understand or see. But, man, some of your ones made me actually sit back and think, damn, I think I have a new phobia now.
Absolutely. I mean, some of them even like, because what we did was we asked, you know, like, what are your phobias and why? And some of your responses, I mean, one of the responses was heights, because a little voice tells me to jump it and the temptation is way too real. Like that's crazy. You know what I mean? Imagine being on like at the side of something and your head's just like, do it. Do it twice.
It's like, yo, homie, you good? Like, do you want to, have a quick chat? Like, I feel like don't jump. Please, if we ask nicely, just don't do it. That would be great.
No, definitely. One of them as well was elevators. Apparently this one poor girl has been stuck in an elevator 3 times over. I mean, if that's not bad juju, you don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on there?
Bad juju is the least of your worries. It's like, what's it called? Claustrophobia. When you're stuck in like small space and you, in that one moment, there is no hope of ever leaving. Like, you live in this elevator now. This is your home. Just make it a home. Get a pot plant. This is you now.
Exactly right. Nice little add-in there, by the way. I see what you did.
Thank you.
One of them as well was pure silence. It gives me the heebs, which, you know, like, it's actually very true. You know, like, the two things that really, you know, like, you can't get to sleep on is, you know, like, if you're laying in bed, it's like pitch black, you know what I mean? And there's pure silence. There's nothing that irks me more.
I remember there was this one stage there where I was so heaped out. I love the word heaps. I'm going to use it all the time.
Yeah, that's a great one. Heaps.
I was so heaped out by silence that I actually made a fake person that it was just me. I made another version of me, but a lot funnier apparently. That would just keep me company in the dark just so I wouldn't be scared. And mind you, I was not like 10 or 11. I was 23. Like, I was a full-grown adult, and that's how scared I was still of the dark.
Imagine just being able to split yourself in two and be like, all right, you're my friend now. You're scared.
It's mentally been there, done that. I think my favorite one out of all the phobias out there, and I don't know who posted it, but shout out to you because you opened, like, this whole new door for me of phobias, is geese.
Like, geese.
And I think you said that the reason they're a phobia of yours is because you got chased by one or flown at one and you've hated them ever since. And it got me thinking, birds are terrifying. Birds have zero chill. They will just fly at your face and then they'll do the quick sidestep to the end and they will not feel any remorse for that.
Absolutely not. And, you know, like the defensive ones, you know, like there's even birds in Australia with poison, you know, like little talon things. What are they? The plover. Plovers are poisonous. You know, that's crazy.
It's just, and then someone else messed me up on this one too, because then they put ibises down. And then ibises are like, when it comes to birds, they're like the only one that has, they have nothing to lose. Like, they... they will take chances by the balls and they will rip them off. They do not care. I remember I was going to college years ago, and I say college because that's what it was called. Like, it wasn't called uni because, like, I wasn't smart enough to get into uni. And I had this one guy, and whenever he ordered hot chips, he refused to eat outside because this one time he was eating hot chips at the beach, and Ibis flew down, took one, and just left. And he has been terrified of them ever since.
Ibises are like honey badgers, you know. Like, you know the saying, they don't give up.
They don't give a you damn. Know what I mean?
Absolutely not. No, but you guys really, like, you were really responsive on there. Like, another one was spoiled milk and out of date food and drinks in general because of a car trip that had gone sour, which, you know, like, the worst thing you can ever do is, you know, like, accidentally leave food or drink in your car, and then you just get in, you get that huge whiff. Like, I completely understand that one.
I opened my car door the other day and I had a coffee in there from about, say, like 3 weeks ago, and it was in, like, you know, the little cup holder on the side of your door.
Oh, the sneaky cup holder, though, that always gets you. Yeah,
and this thing had grown mold. It was so disgusting. And it was in that one moment I was like, I think it's time to get a bag and just throw the whole car away. I don't want this anymore.
I mean, it's just like a spider. You just have to burn the whole house down. I get it.
So same with your phobias. You know, we've all got them. Some of them are so unrealistic. Like, the geese one, as much as I love that, like, that's just... it's just so random. It's like plucked out of the sky, literally and figuratively speaking. Like, and this thing's just flown at you and you're like, nope, never again. I don't want to be associated. I don't ever speak to me or my son again.
And then, like, you have the ones which are so realistic, you know what I mean, when it comes to, like, large bodies of water and all that kind of stuff. Like, another thing that large bodies of water, or water in general, that one made me go on a little bit of a tangent, you know what I mean? Because, like, I saw this story about a megalodon sighting the other day, and I was like, you really don't know what's in there, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the ocean is so unsearched, and people just go for a casual swim in there, you know? It's crazy.
It's crazy. And the whole idea that there's an animal out there called a megalodon.
Oh, we don't know if it's out there, but yeah, no, still, like, the word mega, you know what I mean? That means, generally that means big, you know what I mean? That means big no.
Big no. Put an X on it. Get out. Just get out. If you see anything that resembles a megalodon, it's time to get out of the water. If you see a geese, it's time to get out of the sky. Avoid spoiled milk, because that seems like a bad time as well. There's just so many phobias, and we're so thankful you guys sent them through. You're all really interesting and kind of weird, and we respect that.
Absolutely. But another thing that we love and respect by you guys is this next song, which you guys submitted as well. This one here is E-Girl by American Tea. E-Girl, I wonder if you'll make me come and cry. You know what I need, girl. You're so fucking bad, I want to die. Can get you off my screen, girl. And now I always see you every night. Sucking up all of my drugs like a vacuum, sending me photos from work in the bathroom. You got too high, send them all to your dad too. Say hi to your dad too. We'll wear your makeup and take all your Zoloft. Fucking in public, we couldn't get our clothes off. Damn, we were so lost. Deprecation so thick you can taste it. Pop me like candy and don't fucking waste it. Don't fucking waste it. Careless and wasted, we act like we're famous. Live like we're dead, got no time for the fake shit. No fake on the fake shit. Hard eyes and tears made for good times. I just met an ego. I wonder if you'll make. Fucking bad, I wanna die. Can get you off the street, girl.
anonymously, so we can't thank anyone. But if you are on that Travis Barker, Machine Gun Kelly, rapper pop punk vibe, this is the song for you. So make sure you check that out a little bit later as well. Another thing that we should be checking out is, let me just start off by saying, you know, last week we spoke about the little pub in Brisbane that wants to stay open until 3 a.m. and throw in some pop punk jams and some punk jams and rock and roll and whatnot. And it was just contested by everyone that lived in that small town. Do we remember that?
That one's, yeah, the little 11 dive yeah. bar, I believe it is, and a Maroochydore.
Yeah, the one named after the bullfighting game.
Nice.
Well, here's my thing, right? How are we so concerned about pop punkers roaming the streets at 3 a.m. and we're not concerned about the well-being of a lady who's 31 living in the US and has completely decked out her home with McDonald's memorabilia?
Just really quickly before we jump into this, I'd like to say that actually one of our followers is going to that bar Ooh. To perform live. So that's really cool. But I completely agree with you. You know, like what kind of, it's one of those strange addiction things, you know, like you've seen the TV shows about it. You've seen all the YouTube videos, you know, like that lady who eats her husband's ashes to feel more like close to him and all Jesus. That kind of stuff. But this lady here has gone like above and beyond to, you know, like deck her house out completely in McDonald's. Or Ronald McDonald stuff. It's wild.
Taylor Gecking is from Virginia in the US, right? And she basically said that she went to some flea market, saw like a stained glass window of Ronald McDonald, and that was it. It was like crack cocaine to her. She was there. She will settle for nothing less but McDonald's.
Absolutely not. And she didn't just, you know, like just get the collectible cups that you get, you know what I mean? Like we all, you know, like barter that stuff. Like you got the one with the purple spots on it, you know, because I have three of the one with the blue if you need it, you know what I mean? No, she went all out. She got stained windows with like Ronald McDonald on it. She's got the curtains, she's got, you know, like her walls are painted the colors of McDonald, being the you know, like the gold and yellow color, or even the red. This lady just, you know, like she thought, yeah, you know what, I'm just gonna throw it all in, let's do it, like let's not half do this
I
thing.
Hope to God she has a cardboard cutout of Hamburglar. Like I seriously do. I feel like if I was going to ever have an obsession like this lady, I would probably want a cardboard cutout of the Hamburglar just roaming around in my house. So like someone walks in, you put him like leaning on a couch and they're like, hey, Sarah, who's this? That's Hamburglar. Who's just here to hang out?
Well, you know, the thing is, she probably does. I mean, this lady has gone, she made her husband, so she's in Virginia, right? She made her husband go to West Virginia to go have a look at an original Golden Arches, you know, like the McDonald's sign.
That's crazy.
She made him go 8-hour drive with him to go have a look at that. Unfortunately, it cost too much, but he decided to surprise her and actually buy it for her, which, you know, like that's love dedication right there. You know what I mean?
I think the best part about it is he's vegan, isn't he? He's like strictly off meat, and he has no nostalgia towards McDonald's like at all because he doesn't eat meat. But here he is traveling 8 hours to buy the Golden Arches for his wife, and some people listening to the show right now are struggling.
Look, you know, like I that is real love right there, you know, like you cannot leave him ever.
No.
Like that's deal sealed, you know what I mean? Like, may as well buy your funeral plot with him.
That's
now
it. You guys are getting cremated together. You're going nowhere. You physically have to love this man for the rest of your life. He is a vegan, putting up with your McDonald's addiction, and there is nothing more you could want in a partner.
He's not only putting up with that, he has to wake up to a huge just picture of Ronald McDonald's, like, stick it onto every one of his windows in his house. Like, it, you know what? It'd be really good if they had kids and they just wanted a McDonald's party, you know what I mean? The theme's already there. You just have to put a bit of makeup on.
That's exactly right. But I think the scariest part is that she hasn't got kids. Like, she does not, like, she can't, I mean, I'm assuming gone this far deep, she's not trying to justify it, but she can't justify it by saying, oh, it's for my kids, because it's for her 31-year-old ass. Like, she woke up one morning, went to a market, and was like, I want to live my life like this man.
Exactly right. You know, like, this isn't the first time we've heard about people completely changing their lives to, like, suit something. We've got the purple lady over, I think she's in Russia. You can't quote me on that. But, like, you've got the lady who's completely dedicated herself to being purple, the one who's completely dedicated herself to being green. You have the one who's, like, you know, completely dedicated themselves to living Barbie and also Hello Kitty. I mean, like, there's got to be something that just ticks over and it's like, yeah, this is me now.
Exactly right. But I feel like you're put in a position as like a friend or a partner to kind of sit down and be like, I don't know if this is okay. Like, she took the midlife crisis at 31 and instead of buying like a brand new yellow Lamborghini, she painted her walls red and yellow to match her favorite fast food chain restaurant.
And he's a vegan.
Like, what? There's like... Every story or every situation that comes out of the US, it just gets taken that one step further. It's like that family that did the baby reveal and burnt down half of their state. Like, they can't just do anything simply. It's going to be like all or nothing. If we don't do it, it's like Fast and the Furious. You know what I mean? It's like,
exactly right.
We are a family. We live together, we die together. That's it.
These guys really do go all out. You know what I mean? I guess you can appreciate that.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know if I fear her or respect her. Like, do I want to be her friend on the pure basis that she could be endorsed by McDonald's and free food? Or do I feel like I should contact a professional? I'm unsure. Like, I'm torn between the two.
Really depends how hungry you are.
Fair
I guess.
Point. Like, if I'm a bit hungry, then I'm a friend. If I'm full belly, full happy, I could contemplate the latter. I could contemplate
That's
it.
Exactly right. Well, one thing she's not in is this next song, guys. We're going to move on. And this song here is Misery by Where the Devil.
Look at you as you're
one there was another fan submitted song, follower submitted. I don't know what to call you guys. You guys are just cool.
Buddy pals.
Our pals submitted song. This one was Misery by Where the Devil. But Sarah's got some exciting news for us. What you got, Sarah?
Yes. We at Somnia got the chance to sit down with one of the scene's most influential bands, in my opinion. I mean, they've been around for years. They are part of the backbone that was the emo and scene phase in the late 90s, early 2000s. And for the first time ever, they've actually had a roster change, and they never have ever. And that's pretty exciting. So we had the opportunity to sit down with the old drummer and new lead singer, Brandon Saylor, and find out all about the new album, Baptized, which dropped, I think, at the start of this week on the 4th of June.
Yeah.
Killer lineup. They got the likes of Matt Heffey from Trivium. They got Travis Barker, Jacoby Shaddix. They've got a whole bunch of people featuring on the album too. And he's going to give us a little bit of an insight of what we can expect from them in the future, what we're expecting for the album. And he's also dropped in a little bit of a tour story as well, which I actually kind of respect for him. He was really cool to talk to. And if you haven't streamed Baptize, go do it after you listen to this interview.
But sit back and relax, guys. This one here is Sarah chatting with Brandon Sellers, lead vocalist of Atreyu.
Firstly, how, you know, you've obviously moved to the front of the band. You're now, you know, face front and center. How was the transition moving from one spot in the band to the other? Did you feel it impacted any part of the new record during the making of it?
I don't know. I feel like it wasn't fully thought out, like, while we were making the album. Like, we kind of went about business as usual with, like, how we were writing the songs and how I was recording everything. But, obviously we got a little bit of a taste of how this exact lineup is, because in the summer of 19, we had gone over to Europe, and Alex had hurt his back, like, last minute. So we went over and did a full tour in Europe with his exact lineup, actually. So yeah. We kind of like had a taste of how that would be. So it was sort of a weird kind of test run without us knowing it existed. So, but really like the first kind of introduction to really feeling how it felt like in this new incarnation was when we did our live stream events, and it felt awesome. But as far as kind of approach, I feel like we didn't think that far ahead, you know, we just kind of kept our blinders on and let the music happen, you know?
Yeah, I don't think you ever think too far ahead for a situation like that. Like, it all just kind of happens, and then you just have to dive headfirst into it and just hope for the best.
Exactly.
Have you guys received positive feedback from the changes, though? Because it's the first time that you guys have changed your lineup in such a long time that I think it'd be like a culture shock to all of the listeners and everything like that. So has it been like kind of a positive feedback from all of your fans and everything like that, knowing that change is happening?
For sure. I mean, honestly, it's been a bit overwhelming how good it's been. Like, we didn't know what to expect because, like you said, we've been a band for so long. The lineup has been what it has been for so long that, you know, it's a big leap of faith to make these kind of changes. And obviously, me up front is not a super far stretch because I've always sang in the band. But, you know, it is a shift, and people tend to be a little bit hesitant of change, if not, you know, fearful of change.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what to expect, but quite obviously there's going to be the people that are pissed and negative and whatever. But, like, an overwhelming amount of the majority has been just excited. And, like, we've kind of realized that there's this very, like, unconditional love that our fans have. And it's, like, a lot of our – like diehards are truly like ride or dies, you know, like,
yeah.
They're like, I love this. I love you guys. I love what you're doing. Like, commend the bravery, like go kill it. So it's like, yeah. We kind of like have strengthened the bond with our fans even more because I don't think we realized how sort of, you know, how deep in they were. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And good change is good change, you know what I mean? It's always good to kind of switch it up a little bit every now and again and see.
Exactly.
That's kind of our
method, too.
Yeah, which is good. Now, the album comes out in a couple of days, 4th of June, and you guys have got some crazy cameos on there. You've got, like, the likes of Travis Barker, Jacoby Shaddix. How did these all come about to kind of fit in and include inside the album?
It was all really, like, strangely natural, to be honest. You know, Jacoby and Matt Heffey have both just been friends for a long time. And, you know, the song that Jacoby's on, we had wrote it, and we were like, man, this has got that Jacoby energy. Like, it was always like, let's call Jacoby to get on this. It's like a joke. And it was like, it's got that, there's just that kind of cadence and that vibe. And then one night, I went to the studio when they were writing, kind of near where I live, and we were just having a conversation and this and that. And they were, you know, it was right when our kind of transition had happened. We hadn't even gone public with it yet. And we're talking about that. And yeah. Jacoby was just kind of giving me like the full, like, positive build up speech. And he's just the like most positive dude in the world. And talking about the album. And he's like, oh, you guys doing any like collabs? So I kind of saw my shot, you know, I'm like, actually, yes, we have a song to be perfect for you. And it was like as simple as that. And then same thing with Matt. It was like, we wanted like a really unique voice on that song, because it's like a really kind of off the wall unique song, and
yeah,
it was like as simple as a text message, you know. I think the only long shot really was Travis, but even that, you know, our producer John Feldman had such a good relationship with him that it was like as simple as John texting him and being like, "You want to play like a marching thing on this Atreyu song?" And it was like, "Yep, I'll come in next week," you know. It was like, luckily everyone was really interested, and we didn't have to like bribe anybody or, you know, like.
None of us sliding into the DMs. It was all just came naturally, which is fantastic. It's what you want.
Exactly.
So, you know, the past 24 months, you know, it's put a lot of restraint on the arts and the music industry, which I'm sure you understand. I know America is probably one of the biggest hotspots at the moment. I know Australia's kind of calmed down. But did you guys find it difficult navigating, you know, making a new record, meeting each other, going here, there and everywhere during the pandemic? Like, did that put, like, a massive pause on everything that was going on, or was it easy to navigate through?
I mean, it was difficult at times. I mean, we had really the kind of interesting thing was we had started the album in January, and then, you know, everything went into lockdown, and then we kind of, you know, had our lineup change and went through all that kind of song and dance. So the only thing that was really difficult was we really wanted to get back in the studio, you know, with this kind of fresh energy of like, okay, what's done is done, let's move forward. And we kind of had to wait a little bit for that, you know.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you know, it took a few months before we can really get back in the studio safely and it made sense. But other than that, you know, we kept our circles really small through this whole time. So, you know, and everyone at band was getting tested and all these things. So it was like one of those things where we still were able to kind of like get together and do what we needed to do just on a really small capacity, you know. But for us, it was just kind of like, what can we do to, you know, remain active, not only with music, but just like trying to get fun and creative with like our merch and things we were doing online and things like that, where it was just, you know, like I started streaming on Twitch and just remaining active and kind of itch, you know, scratching the itch that we needed in some way. So we kind of all just really seeked out those sort of opportunities.
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever plans for a pandemic, you know. It's just like no one has that
book,
like what to do when a pandemic happens, and it's just you just
for sure
acclimatized to it all. So it's good to know that you guys still kept going during and it didn't really put any restraints or anything on you, which is awesome, because the album sounds like it's you know, drilling up to be a killer thing. Like, I'm really excited for its release. So what other kind of vibe are we looking at this album? What are you hoping people get out of it?
I mean, I think the way that we release the songs, I think we really wanted to sort of start painting the picture of what people can expect, you know? And, you know, I feel like we have, you know, Warrior and Underrated and Catastrophe and Save Us Out. And those are all really good, like, kind of, you know, like landmark songs within the album that can really give you a good idea of what you're getting into. But there's so much more, you know what I mean? There's so many, like, there's still other, like, strange turns and kind of new things we've never done. And, you know, like the first song on the album is an a cappella track where all five of us are, it's just our voices. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's a lot that I think people still will be surprised by. But I feel like, you know, I feel like what we've put out so far gives you a pretty good idea of where we're going, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of the two singles, sorry, like Warrior and Underrated, because that came along with the album announcement for Baptized, what made you be like, all right, yep, these are the ones that we want to showcase first before we actually put the whole album out?
It was a difficult thing, you know. We really, because, you know, obviously Save Us was the first thing that anyone heard. And before anyone even knew anything about an album, we just put out Save Us. And that just, to us, it seemed perfect for the time, and it really said everything we needed to say. Like, sonically, it was like, this is a punch in the face of a song. Like, for the first thing people are going to hear for this new lineup, like, that seemed perfect for us. And then with the, obviously Warrior was going to be the next single, and like, it can tend to be lean more on the kind of like radio side, you know, the safer side, if you will, of music, so we like wanted to pair it and put out Underrated at the same time. So it was like, again, like trying to paint the picture of what people can expect. So definitely very calculated, and many conversations were had about what the hell we put out first.
Yeah, I can just imagine, you know, it's easy for us as fans to be like, oh, I'm so excited for the first release, but you don't realize how much anxiety a band has just picking what song they want to release first, because if you pick the wrong one and everyone doesn't like it, you're like, oh, no, what do we do here? It's just like...
So you can't be like, oh, shit, sorry, guys, no, we didn't... So, no, we didn't mean that. We meant to put out this one.
It was a joke.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of thought goes into all these things, for sure.
Yeah, of course. Now, it must be hard, you know, given the current circumstances of everything right now, knowing that it's going to be a while until you guys tour again. You know, you can put out the announcements and things like that, which I know you have. But, you know, does it kind of – everyone's looking forward to going back to live shows. Like you said, you have songs that basically a punch in the face. So that would be fantastic as a live show. Like, are you looking forward to finally getting back on the road and getting all these things and seeing the kind of response you get from your fans at a live show?
100%, you know, like, especially because things have been going great with, like, people reacting the way they have. So it's like, yeah, I want to just get in a room and I want to scream in people's faces and sweat on each other again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's part of our culture and our livelihood as a band that it's just, like, it's been missing. So we're definitely stoked. I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, the United States is open. We announced our first U.S. tour today, but it's like, we're still like, oh, that's great. But, like, you know, it's like, when's Australia? Like, when's the U.K.? Like we literally, like, Australia and New Zealand opened up, and we were seeing all these, like, shows happening, and your guys' numbers were, like, killing it and all this stuff, and, like, all the kind of restrictions, the guidelines were lifted, and literally it was, like joke text messages to our management, like, hey, can we just go to Australia for, like, 3 weeks or, like, a month, 2 months? I don't care. Can you get us a residency in every major city in Australia, and we'll just stay there for a few months and just play shows?
I'm sure we would love that. You are more than welcome. Like, I'll speak to the government and see what I can pull the strings for.
Yeah, see if you can pull any strings.
So I think one of the biggest questions, you know, I have for you guys at the moment, like, what is your post-Rona plans? Like, what are we expecting from you guys in the future other than the new album and the tour? Is there anything else? Any little surprises you can spill for me today?
We're just trying to, you know, piece together getting back to the rest of the world, you know? I think there's a fire in us to pay more attention to, like, the international markets at, like, way more than we ever have. There's, like, nothing in our way now to, like, go spend the time and, like, really, like, expand what we're capable of, you know? So right now it's the States. We're really looking forward to getting back to a lot of different countries internationally and just, like, getting back to normal. But you know what I mean? I think we're always kind of a band that has tricks up our sleeve, and we always like getting creative. So it's always kind of an ever growing process of what are we going to do next? You know?
Yeah. You left us on a cliffhanger there. You know, you were like, we always have tricks up our sleeves, but we can't tell you yet. You're going to have to wait for that. That's fine.
The magic trick's not as cool if I tell you how I do it.
That is exactly right. That is the first rule of magic. Never reveal your secrets. That's smart. I respect you. So, you know, one more question I've got for you. It's kind of a little bit more of a fun one. You know, you guys have been a massive attribute to the scene and where it is now. You guys have been around for a very long time. You've impacted the scene probably a lot more than some bands out there at the moment, which means, you know, you've seen it all, you've done it all, you're expecting everything. So our last question is to you, out of all the shows, the tours, festivals, X, what's one that's been your absolute favorite story to tell?
Honestly, and it's going to sound like I'm just stroking the Australia ego. But we went away, we went on hiatus for a handful of years. And one of the first things we did when we came back was we did, Soundwave in Australia.
Oh yes.
And we hadn't played for years in Australia. We didn't know what to expect. And the first show, we were like on like second, like one of the second stages, and you know, the first show back, band before us played, and, you know, in between sets, it was, like, pretty, you know, empty, as festivals go. And, of course, it's in your head where you're like, fuck, man, like, nobody cares anymore. Like, this is gonna suck.
Oh, no.
And then, like, 20 minutes later, we go on stage, and it's, like, people packed over the hill as far as the eye can see, and it was absolute fucking pandemonium. Then the next night, same thing. We're in like one of the big kind of like tents, like kind of big halls, like almost like a hangar. And yeah. then same thing, Band of Forest plays, kind of empties out. We're like, let's see how this goes. And there were so many people in the room. Like it was, you couldn't breathe. It was so hot. And then our management at the time sent us photos from outside. And there was like 1,000 people outside just like listening. So it was one of those things where it was like, fuck, like we've had some of our most like, you know, everyone in a band, you dream of having that like Michael Jackson moment where you're like, holy shit, like there's a lot of people here and they really care about us a lot. Like those have come from Australia. Like years ago, we went to Australia and same thing after a show, like leaving to go back to the hotel, like running to the van and people are everywhere, like smacking on the windows. Like any, like our highest moments that we've had as a band have mostly been in Australia.
Yeah.
And that's not a lie.
It's because we have, like, we have no chill. Like, if we know you're there, that's it. Like, we're the friendliest people
in the
world, but we're going to
continue having no chill. Continue yeah, having no chill. It makes us feel great.
All I'm hearing here is that you guys should come and tour over here soon. So I feel like
exactly.
that's the kind of vibe we're looking for. We'll just have to, we'll have a chat to our ScoMo, our PM, and see what we can do for you. Pull a couple of strings.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, it's been really good chatting with you today. Thank you for answering all my questions and taking your time out to have a chat with us.
Of course.
Really excited to see, you know, the new album drop and everything that comes from this. And I'm really excited to see you when you do eventually come down here to Australia, Sydney in specifics. Good luck with everything to all of you guys.
Thank you, as soon as possible. Thanks for having me.
And as we mentioned before, that was Brandon Saylor from Atreyu. Their new album, Baptized, which I mentioned earlier, dropped on the 4th of June, so it is available on all streaming platforms. I can tell you right now, it is a killer release. It's been a couple of years since they put out any new music, and they've definitely come back with hard and hitters, especially their featured songs. The one with Matt Heffey, I highly recommend, and I was never really much of a Atreyu fan when I was growing up, but this song just kind of slaps all the way through. We are going to put you in for 3 for 3, and we are going to start off with one of the new songs from that album. We decided against putting in the one with Trivium and decided to go with their title track. So this one here is Baptized by Atreyu. just to confirm the songs and Welcome Back that was just played for you guys just then, that was Baptized by Atreyu off their new album Baptized, which dropped on June 4th, if you're not over me saying it yet. Spineless by Sydney Boys Together in Tragedy, and Paranoia by Fifth Dawn. Make sure you stream all the songs. Everything here, as we said, was fan recommended. A lot of those came anonymously, but we do appreciate you guys being interactive and letting us know what you want to listen to. So hopefully you've enjoyed all the songs today.
But unfortunately, guys, well, first and foremost, we'd like to, yeah, again, just thank you guys so much for being so interactive with us. That's fully crazy for us, you know what I mean? Like, this episode has basically been dedicated to you guys, so that's really cool for us. But unfortunately, it is time for us to go, and we'll just let you know that we will actually be doing one of these fan-submitted songs again. If you guys want to shout out your friends, you know, like any bands you want us to play, or even just songs you want people to hear, you know, like when your friends just don't respond back, or they do the whole, like, oh, yeah, 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 you know what I mean? Like, just show, instead of showing your friends, show, like, Perth and Sydney or Spotify, whatever. But
exactly, we are your friends
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we are your friends now. But yeah, guys, make sure you keep an eye out on our Instagram and Facebook page. You can find us by searching in Somnia Sounds, that is S-O-M-N-I-A Sounds. You can also find us on Spotify as well, underneath the same little tag thing. But yeah, make sure you go ahead and check us out, because we've put all every song list everything up there if you guys ever want to check that out and all that kind of stuff. We've also got some cool things up for grabs, and yeah, if you're in a band, make sure you definitely check us out, because we often offer some cool little things for you guys to be featured as well.
Do you know what, Kia? Mm-hmm. I never ever thought I would feel nostalgia or lethargic towards the fact that you don't use hi_lo can you go anymore. I actually kind of miss it, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm sure everyone that's listening to us is probably like, oh, thank god it's shorter. But I miss you being like, that's hi_lo can you go.
Yeah, but like, it was a cool little saying. But unfortunately one day soon we will have to get rid of the hi_lo can you go page. So guys, make sure you are following the correct one, which is Somnia Sounds. Thank you so much for that segue, Sarah. Aha.
As you guys heard, I am Sarah.
And I am Kia.
And you have been listening to Somnia, whether it be DRN1 89.3 FM, or maybe you are tuning in late from Spotify. It has been a pleasure listening to you guys and you listening to us today. So we guess we'll catch you same time.
Same place.
Next week. Oh, bye.
Wait. Before we leave, guys, this is our final song, and we just had to include this one here. This one was included by one of our friends, Grimes, not the actual person Grimes, but our friend Grimes. This one here is Genie in a Bottle by Right Place, Right Time. Bye. Baby.
saying no. If you wanna be with me, baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a genie in a bottle. Genie in a bottle, baby. Come, come, come on in, let me out.